I heard a good joke the other day. What do good sermons and matzah baking have in common? They both take less than 18 minutes. You know, come to think of it, maybe they weren't joking after all. An important aspect of our body of Jewish literature comes from Kabbalah, mystical writings. Although Kabbalah became a household name thanks to Madonna, or Esther, its teachings have been around for quite some time, including the Atbash. If we study the holiday of Pesach, we will then know exactly when all the other Jewish holidays will fall. The first day of Pesach, or Aleph Pesach, corresponds to the Tav, which corresponds to Tisha B'Av, the ninth of the month of Av, which tells us an interesting connection, as we'll discuss in a moment, between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. In other words, if a person wants to know exactly when Tisha B'Av is, all you have to do is remember when the first day of Pesach was. It will be on the same day. This year, it was a Sunday. Second day, or Bet Pesach, corresponds to the Shin of Atbash, Shavuos, which means Shavuos will be on a Monday. Gimel, or the third day of Pesach, is the Resh of Atbash, or Rosh Hashanah. Dalet, the fourth of Pesach, corresponds to the Kuf, or Kriyat HaTorah, Simchas Torah, will fall out on a Wednesday. The fifth day of Pesach, or Hay, Thursday, corresponds to the Tzadi in the Atbash, known as Som Yom Kippur. That's the day that Yom Kippur will fall. On Friday, or Vav, corresponds to the Purim, or Pei. And finally, the seventh, or Zion, corresponds to the Ayin of Yom Ha'atzma'ot, Israeli Independence Day. Some actually say that this is the custom for wearing a kittel and also eating an egg at the Seder, since Tisha B'Av will always fall out on the same day of the week as the first day of Pesach. It's very strange, because Tisha B'Av focuses on exile, us being in Galus, the Churban HaBayis, and the destruction of the first and second Beit HaMikdash. Why should we mention these things on a holiday called Zman Cherusenu, a time of our freedom? In truth, the whole Seder seems to forget that Passover is a time of rejoicing over being freed. We go mi'avdus l'cherus, from acting as slaves to becoming free. But why? Why must we focus on the avdus aspect at all? Let's forgive and forget. Let bygones be bygones. Why do we have to go through all the motions of slavery, of eating the maror, the bitter herbs, to remember the bitterness and the memelach, the salt water, the tears? Why do we have to remind ourselves of the avdus? Just be happy. The cherus, the freedom that we're in now. I think the answer can be found on the dollar bill, or the Great Seal. It's very interesting that if you look, not now, but at a dollar bill, we know that the Great Seal is a pyramid. But it wasn't initially that way. And let me explain. So after declaring the independence on July 4th of 1776, the Continental Congress charged Thomas Jefferson, John Adams, Benjamin Franklin with recommending a design for the new nation seal. For the reverse of the Great Seal, they agreed on a scene from Exodus. Moses' arm outstretched over the Red Sea. The Israelites crossing through the parted waters, protected by a divine pillar of fire. And Pharaoh's drowning army. They also chose a phrase. Rebellion to tyrants is obedience to God. Jefferson attributed to one of the episodes that occurred during the English Civil Wars. Indeed, its first appearance was said to be on the grave marker of John Bradshaw, head of the English court that condemned King Charles I to death in 1649. Thomas Jefferson himself adopted this motto for his own personal seal. But if we remember what the dollar bill looks like, we do not have the picture of this great scene of the Jews being spared and freed by the Red Sea. Rather, the original committee's recommendation was not accepted. As the Revolutionary War drew to a close in 1782, a subsequent committee endorsed a very different image associated with Egypt, the pyramid, a monument to a king then believed to have been built by slaves. The Continental Congress adopted this recommendation the day it was proposed, immediately, and the image now appears, of course, on our $1 bill. Charles Thompson, who was the artist who designed the seal, wrote, "The pyramid signifies strength and duration." Both Latin inscriptions paraphrase verses by the Roman poet Virgil, "Annuit Quapitus," "He, God, has favored our undertakings," and "Novus Ardu Seclorum," "A new order of the ages is born." And on the top of the pyramid is the all-seeing eye, which represents the eye of divine providence, of Hashgacha Pratit. Why? Why did they choose the symbol of the pyramids and not this other really nice-looking symbol of the Red Sea? If we look at these two pictures, the picture of the pyramids represent Avdus, slavery. The other picture of the Yamsuf, of the splitting of the Red Sea, is Chayrus, our freedom. Our founding fathers, I believe, and of course, it's not stated this anywhere that I've seen, but I believe that our founding fathers wanted to instill the message of Hakar Tatov, of appreciation for our freedom. But how is this accomplished? How could one appreciate themselves being free? And the answer is, by remembering the alternative, that we could still be under the rule of the British. And once we recognize this, we can then, and only then, appreciate our freedoms. This is the message of Pesach. And this is also the message of the Seder. By remembering the Avdus, by recalling our days of slavery in Egypt, only now are we able to appreciate the Chayrus, the freedom granted to us by Hashem. This is the connection between Pesach and Tisha B'Av. It's teaching us a very strong message that if we do not appreciate our freedom from Egyptian exile, and if we will misuse our freedom, the alternative, the consequence is that those freedoms could very easily be removed, and we'll have to learn firsthand what exile really is like. So instead, on Pesach, remember Tisha B'Av, remember the destruction, and then we can truly appreciate what we have today. This also explains the significance of the Manish Tana. Why these particular questions? Could have come up with many other great questions than these Arba Kushiyot. The question of matzah, question of why we eat maror, a question about leaning, the question about dipping, so many other questions. The Haggadah is rich with so many different things that we could be discussing. Why every year the same four questions? And the answer is because it focuses directly on this paradox. Is tonight's focus avdus, slavery, eating matzah, eating maror, or is tonight's focus chayrus, freedom? Freedom by leaning, freedom by dipping. And the answer, when a child asks a question, we must answer them. But where's the answer in the Haggadah? It's the first sentence after the Manishtana. Avadim hayinu leparo b'mitzrayim, b'yotzienu Hashem Elokeinu misham. We teach our children that we must go through the motions of slavery in order to then appreciate our freedom. In conclusion, we recite toward the end of Magid, Bechol dor v'dor chayiv adam liros es atzmo ki'ilu hu yatsa mimitzrayim. We must envision our own change from slavery to freedom. Although none of us physically were ever slaves, we can still fulfill these words of our Haggadah. The way we are today, with our families, with our careers, many very well may not have been the way they are now, the way they were many years before. Perhaps some of us had very difficult experiences in our lives, challenging times as a child, our first job, our family difficulties, life events that have been challenging. They're not meant to be forgotten. The idea of Avdus L'Cherus is to be able to remember those difficult times, not to be saddened by them, but rather to realize how fortunate you are and we all are today. This is the message of Avdus L'Cherus, from slavery to freedom. Good job.